When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hans Shot First Podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in-depth about common movie moments
from my dead body.
With the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, Oscar.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week, we're going to continue talking about Black Mirror. A couple more episodes. We're going to start off with Hated in the Nation.
Hated of the year.
In the nation.
This was...
Yeah.
This was episode 6 of season 3, which first aired October 21st, 2016. Directed by James Hawes. I think that's how you say it.
Hawes.
Written by Charlie Booker, starring Kelly MacDonald, Faye Marseille, and Benedict Wong.
Wong.
There it is.
They're both Benedicts are in Doctor Strange.
Yes. Dual Benedicts.
Yeah.
Do
you just notice now?
I never thought about Scott saying Benedict. Anyway. last week, you know, I'm the big Black Mirror fan here. I cherry picked a couple episodes.
Hey, yo.
I cherry-picked a couple episodes, and last week we did two, and this week we're doing two more. So Hated in the Nation is one that I nominated this week for the guys to watch. My history with this is I saw it when it aired, or, you know, within weeks of it streaming on Netflix. And the reason I nominated this one is it's like with the other ones, I don't try to pick the too disturbing of ones, even though there is obviously disturbing stuff in it. But for me, it felt like an X-Files episode to me, I think. And we'll talk about that more, which is another reason why I liked it, because I was a huge fan of the X-Files. And I'm interested to see what the guys say about this. Before you guys get into it, the cast, which kind of talked about Kelly MacDonald. I know her from that HBO show, which I always forget the name of, with Nucky Thompson and...
Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire. That's all I know her from.
I remember her all the way back from Trainspotting.
Oh, okay.
I've
seen that. I think that was her first movie, her feature movie anyways.
It's the Faye Marseille, I know her from Game of Thrones, and then Benedict Wong, as we were already talking about, from the Marvel movies.
From Solaris.
Solaris, he's in that?
Oh, no, which is the one that we did? The sci-fi movie.
Oh, Sunshine.
Sunshine.
Solaris is also... Yeah, we haven't done Solaris.
Solaris is with Clooney, right? Way back in, like, in the 90s or early 2000s?
Yeah, the remake is with Clooney. Wow. Yeah, I had no idea that... Yeah, there's an original from the 60s, I want to say. Solaris.
Yeah.
That one might be better.
All right. Anyway, Alex, what's your history with this?
I've never seen this episode of Black Mirror before. Like I said last episode, I think I mentioned it, but the missus and I only got 3 episodes into Black Mirror and said, nope, we're out. This is too depressing. But I'm glad I got to watch these, the previous 2 episodes, and now these 2 that we're talking about tonight, because they were great.
All right. Scott.
Yeah, I feel like Jeff's picked the cream of the crop for us with some of these.
It rises to the top.
So I like this. Jeff just watches them all and then lets us pick, and then we don't really need continuity for the most part. So
no, you don't. Yeah. There's no continuity. There's one or two episodes, but
I think there's some callbacks. Even in these brief like four that we've watched here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is my first time seeing this episode. We'll talk more about the other one later, but this, like you said, Jeff, this feels like very much like an X-Files. Like it was like feature length. Which I think is an interesting thing about the show is that, you know, they're kind of not limited by the usual format. Mm-hmm. Although like you would know better than we would, like how often do they go kind of that long? Like feels like everything's about an hour, a little over an hour. This one clocks in an hour and a half.
Yeah, I think they go with what they need. And so, yeah, this is definitely, I think, the longest one. The other one we're doing, we'll talk about, is a little shorter. It's still on the longer side. But there are some that are about an hour or even under. So, yeah, I think they use the time needed. Not more, not less, I think, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Yeah, I did. So the Hayden Nation gets to cheat a little bit. Because the show is clearly filmed...
before a live studio
produced, yes, yeah. In England, so you can tell there's a bunch of Brits doing American accents to make it seem more like global. Although they obviously have American actors, but in this one, conveniently, they're all supposed to be British, so they don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Kelly McDonald's, gosh, that's a very, I don't know if she's Irish or Scottish, but that ain't a normal London accent.
I think Scottish.
She's a Mac. I always forget. Mac's Scottish, right? Is that a thing? Scottish. Yeah, Scottish actress Kelly MacDonald was born in Glasgow.
Okay. Glasky.
All right, we'll get into it. Like I said, I think last time I let you guys kind of run it. I just, for people who haven't seen it, I'll just read the kind of the quick summary here.
Spoilers, as usual.
In near future London, police detective Karen Park and her tech-savvy sidekick Blue investigate a string of mysterious deaths with a sinister link to social media. And they don't mention the bees, but there are bees.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's one quick thing I want to have. Besides the social media part of Twitter and hashtags and all that stuff, what are your guys' thoughts about the robot bees that are involved in this movie?
There's a a moral or lesson, or it feels like multiple in each of these episodes that we watch. So the first is like social media and how kind of messed up that can be and kind of mob, internet mob mentality. But also the surveillance state. So that's the other part of this. The other part, just literally about the bees. I feel like between this and the X-Files and Wicker Man, and Candyman, I think bees are slowly taking over the Brits for being like the most evil, like villains, like go-to villains. It was Nazis, and then now lately it's been the Brits. But the bees are making a strong push. Just saying. Although there are no cock-blocking bees, at least.
Yeah. Damn it! You beat me to it.
Yeah, but yet without them, we have no food. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. We got to make the robot bees.
All right, well, I'll let you guys kind of lead up. So what did you think, you know, when this thing starts? I mean, there's not as much mystery as it was in some of the other movies. It's kind of
out there. Mm-hmm. So I figured out that it was the bees, and then like 1 minute later, they literally say, oh, it was the bees. So I was like, yeah, oh, aren't I clever? And then,
they're not going to beat around the bush for that one.
Not going to be around the bush.
Woo. Yep, I'm glad they didn't drag that out. It's like, oh, what could it be? I don't know. Some ghost, some sort of ghost? Yeah. Some assassin, some sniper from far away? No, it was the bees.
I mean, they go way out of their way to show the bees in the beginning of the
episode. Yeah. So. It's like, okay, something's happening with the bees. Yeah, oh, they're killer bees. But yeah, I like that they weren't going in that direction, that they went into, okay, who is this person? How did they hijack the technology? And how can we find them before something else goes wrong? Which, that was very entertaining. I was very hooked with that. It's like, oh shit, how are they doing it?
Yeah. And I also like on this episode too, where it is all with the tech, but it's also just about our main protagonist here, right? Karen, Kelly McDonald. It's about showing her going back to her apartment. She's single. She's eating junk food, watching the news, right? It's kind of, most of these shows don't really do that, right? Have the time to set up the character herself, which is,
yeah,
I don't know how important it is to the story, but it just makes it, I think it's probably why it's longer. They put a little bit more into building her character and then later on her sidekick's character.
Yeah, I did really like her character because she's kind of numb to everything. And by the end, she's still shaken by it all. I mean, yeah. She literally says, like, she's never seen anybody die like that. Like, she's seen plenty of bodies, but not the actual, like, dying part of it.
Yeah, in her arms. Literally in her arms.
Yeah. She's kind of detached to everything, which makes her a good detective.
And I will say, we have, you know, we've drawn up the X-File comparisons, and we recently just did the movie. I mean, this movie ends and starts the way X-Files does, with Scully and her in front of higher government officials explaining themselves and showing, telling them what really happened. And yeah. All right. Well, we have the reporter, and she's getting death threats and everything for an article she wrote. And then she gets a cake, and you don't know what's going on. And then she's dead, blaming the husband. And like you said, but then, oh, what could it be? And then you find out it's the bees.
Yeah, it's like, oh, is it poison cake? Nah, not poison. It's the bees. Oh.
Then there's like, was it the rapper or the sports star? I forgot. The guy in the parking garage. Yeah, it's the
rapper.
Rapper.
It's like, look at this kid. He's got no skills. What a piece of shit.
It's just kind of funny. Like, that they...
they got the kid backstage.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, this went south. So the producers and everything are like, oh shit, cut the feed. Poor kid.
Oh.
I forget. Is he the one when they put him in
the MRI?
The MRI?
Yeah. Oh, I knew that was going to happen. I was going to go, oh, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
Good thing he was already dead.
Oh, was he? He wouldn't put a dead man in the MRI. Yeah, no, he was alive.
What?
Yeah.
The bee didn't get to... wherever it was.
I mean, it got into his brain, but it hadn't killed him yet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He hadn't, like, the other girl stabbed herself trying to get it out. He hadn't gotten there yet. And then.
Right.
She don't put a dead man in an MRI.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay. As a quick aside here, they built these little tiny robots really small and everything. So they're about the size of bees and whatnot. Why did they make them so strong that they could burrow through, like, skull and bone? Because a real bee wouldn't do that. I mean, he'd sting you in the ear or in the nose if he got there.
Well, no, but it went through like, nasal and, like, ear canals.
Yeah, but again, a real bee, I don't think would be able to burrow like that. Is all I'm saying.
It's like nanomachines and stuff. To your point, though, Alex, I was a little frustrated that, like, no one came up with the idea of, like, we'll just give you a motorcycle helmet and some duct tape, and then we'll like, just as a precaution, like, we try to figure this other stuff out, but, like, just moving people around, like, in the open air.
That was pissing me off. Yeah, he's like, give her some fucking earmuffs, no earmuffs or anything when she went to the safe house. What is this shit? Give her, like, a little net or something.
Yeah, beekeeping,
like, a mosquito net in front of her
like mesh from
nose,
like,
and stuff. Yeah,
like you would for sharks.
Yeah.
Except for bees.
I mean, we just went through COVID. Put a mask on and then put a mask on each ear, and you're good.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, these bees would just flow right through that mask because they're strong bees. Strong robot bees.
All right, so we're introduced to the sidekick. She gets her new partner, and she's a young, tech-savvy sidekick, as they say here.
It's a punk quarterback, Johnny Unitas.
Yeah. And she's good with the computers. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of just
this of the four episodes. This was definitely the worst when it came to, like, the clearly they wanted to make it sound more impressive than it actually was. Like,
yeah,
like, or the writer didn't really know, so they started using bone. Like, they avoided, like, some of the pitfalls, like mainframe and things like that. But, like, it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
What was weird, though, I mean, that tech, it was just Twitter. I mean, there was nothing special about the social media network in this one, right?
No,
it was literally just Twitter
Yeah.
without being called Twitter.
Like her being able to like hunting and pecking. By the way, did you notice that?
Yes. Was she? No.
Actress could not type. At least not well.
Well, she's from Bravos.
That's true. They didn't teach that though. Yeah. A girl, Jeff. A girl can type.
Yeah. She knows nothing. Oh wait, that's Jon Snow. Never mind.
You know nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, never mind. Different thing.
But yeah, just like young, naive, like the but the super like techie, the procedural techie person.
Yeah. All right, so they find that they're thinking about the bees being an issue, I guess, after the MRI machine. So they go to the headquarters. Once again, these giant headquarters are manned by, like, nobody. Like, two people.
Yeah, there's, like, three people there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you got the classic.
Automated.
You got the classic. This could never happen. Wait, what's going on? Like, I love that. But,
yeah. That's impossible.
Yeah,
that's military. Impossible. Military grade encryption.
Yeah. I forgot who said it. I've heard it from, like, a scientist, a comedic scientist or whatever, but, like, the last words most likely spoken by humanity is by a scientist going, "That's interesting."
Yes.
Or something like that, right? Like,
last word,
yeah. That's odd. It's going to be something like that. Him with, no, what? Oh, that shouldn't happen. And then, all of a sudden they want to clear you out of the room, like, covering our asses here. But yeah, I mean, the whole premise with the bees, I guess, if you're taken, the bees are gone, and we've hired a company, the government's hired a company to create these robotic pollinating devices, you couldn't control them all, so having them replicate when these fake hives, I mean, that all makes sense to me. It tracks.
The replicating thing bothered me.
Why?
Like, not from a logic standpoint, but just like how everybody was cool with it. Like, if somebody told me that, there's these, it's self-replicating, I would have been like,
Yeah, that is a bit worrisome when it's a man-made thing. Because bees self-replicate all the time.
These machines have to be made out of something. Like, it doesn't, it's a bad idea that the bees would just, like, keep replicating. Like, I don't know.
I've replicated twice.
And the world's still up in the air, but that was a good thing.
Yeah, I know. We'll see, that's fun. Yeah, we don't know. It could be one of my boys that goes, huh.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I mean, if you know, like, I think it's you'd have to have that happen, right? Because I could just see kids killing them. I mean, the same thing with any bees, right? They're just
going to happen. Just take them out.
So we don't have drones. Spying on me. Not for like safety, but because everybody would just steal them. Like,
or shoot them down or whatever.
What if they were self-replicating drones?
Yeah, haven't we all been on the Spider-Man ride over at California Adventure?
We have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, self-replicating drones. Peter Parker, that's what happened.
Yeah,
so really.
Spoilers. For a ride at Disneyland.
So anyway, I guess a hacker has cloned one of these hives, and so now when the bees come in there, he clones and he has control of one. I guess something like that. I really didn't understand the tech there. And now he can control.
Don't worry about it.
And then, in typical tech fashion, the hackers want the guys to let them in, plant this thing into their system, and now they have control of everything. Which, in this case, it works. I guess I don't know. They find his hideout on a messed up hard drive and they plug it into their system and shit goes crazy.
He got honeypotted.
That's classic social engineering there, by the way.
Yeah, it
is. That's like a lot of these data breaches happen is that somebody finds a goddamn USB drive laying around. They're like, oh, I just use this.
Let's see what's there. I don't want this on my home computer. I'll just reuse my work one.
Yeah.
I gotta be safe.
You've launched the pink slip virus.
Oh, shit. Type cookie. Cookie Monster virus.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on Twitter, they're finding out that this people using the hashtag #death2 is actually working, and whoever gets the most hashtag #death2s that day gets killed. And you get to see how humanity sucks. And people are actually using it.
Yeah, when Lady Gaga voted in because she was doing an impression of Calvin and the Calvin and Hobbes Calvin sticker from the 90s.
Yep. Yeah.
Fake peeing on a war memorial. Well.
Yeah, so they try to save her and they can't because the bees are everywhere.
God, that was some really good death acting on that actress. That was chilling. That was chilling.
And then meanwhile, the president or the prime minister is just a total G-bag and chancellor, sorry. And
oh, I'm at the top of the list. What are we doing here?
Yeah, he just doesn't care about anybody but himself in this situation.
I didn't realize he was the chancellor to Australia.
Yeah.
He is.
Oi! Oi! I'm the prime minister.
Fighting around the world.
Fight, I'll fight a beat. Yeah, if it was an Australian prime minister, he'd go, what the fuck are these bees gonna, robot bees gonna do with me? I live in Australia.
That's not a bee. This is a bee.
Yeah, this is a bee. It's something out of like Sinbad. A giant fucking wasp.
It actually looks like it's moving around in stop motion.
Yeah.
don't be fooled. It's much faster than it looks.
Yeah.
See, I never thought about that. Australian bees are probably no fucking joke.
Yeah. They're probably the size of cats and shit.
Anyway, they dissect one of the bees and they find the manifesto, this guy's manifesto on there. And that's how they find his hideout to begin with and all that stuff. And he plugs in and then the guy controls all the bees. And then he flips it on everybody and everyone who used the hashtag death to is now on his kill list. The real targets. And he executes his plan, which I have to say, I kind of like that. I don't know. Am I morbid to think that?
Yeah, because
he's fucking...
Yeah, because the whole time they're talking about how he has some moral anger about reforming society and whatnot leading up to that. It's just like, okay, he's using this hashtag and they're more or less picking terrible people that they're killing up until that one lady just did a stupid photo and everything.
Yeah, she's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, no, so three, like, I mean, right. No, three. All,
actually, all three of
all
them.
All three of the first people, like, did not deserve death.
Yeah, I guess.
They didn't deserve death. They're jerks and assholes,
yeah,
but they're not,
huge
they
deserve death.
Derision, yeah. For sure, and some public scorn, but not, like, yeah, not
death. And then he turned it on the executioner, and he's like, oh, shit.
And technically, they don't deserve death either, but I'll let them have it.
Wow, yep. Jeff. So I see you're pro bee surveillance. I see.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not pro bee surveillance. I'm pro death to hashtag death to.
I'm okay to death to hashtags. How about that? Just in general.
Yeah,
like, that's.
Well, I for one welcome our new bee overlords.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I guess I forgot. We didn't mention the whole part. So you find out that the equivalent of the British CIA or whoever is doing this. I don't even know where this is, but
they're going to MI6.
Is it MI6? I mean, I guess it would be in the James Bond stuff, but I don't know if that's where he was from.
Yeah. I think
anyway, they have self-driving cars and all sorts of weird shit.
Yeah. So he's Batman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And they find out that they put in a back door to all these things through all the surveillance and all that stuff. So that's why they're interested. And he's so interested. Let's get the hard drive. They're trying to cover their asses. And
yeah, I do like Benedict Wong here. We haven't really talked much about his character. But,
yeah.
You can see he's also, like, when it's his turn to come to the stand, he's also shaking. I have expected there to be, like, a montage of, like the fallout for all this. So, like, a lot of people killing themselves.
Oof. Yeah, because like, it's Black Mirror.
Like
so
Survivor Guilt.
I was surprised,
like,
yeah.
That like him just like
that much gruesome.
Yeah, like
stuff.
Still yeah. Like he seemed like functional. Like he's the one that pushed the button. I do find it frustrating that like nobody wanted to listen to Karen.
Well, first of all, her name's Karen.
Yeah, that's true.
Who wants to listen to Karen? But,
just like she making a very good point of like this guy is super smart. Like he would have been super smart to do what he's doing. Like he probably wanted us to like do what we're doing now. and like nobody really wants to the other people aren't really arguing with her, but they're not like totally on board with her either. So
yeah, the end was in sight for them. It's like they couldn't wait to push the button to like, let's end this right now. No more people getting killed. Our asses are covered.
Yeah, it was more by him covering their asses.
And... yeah.
But yeah, the hacker's plan goes off without a hitch. I forgot where they showed he was at. He's in South America somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I will give him kudos because disguising himself as David Cross. I mean, who would suspect him? That's genius.
Shaves his head. Did he have a mustache? I don't think so.
He had a beard.
No, that's the one thing he didn't. He did need to paint himself blue. He didn't blue himself, but
or Miss Featherbottom.
Yeah.
But he's out in South America living the life, but our sidekick character Blue is on to him.
There's the Blue connection right there with David Cross. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys, when she says got him, like what do you think the next
weird.
The next step is for her? Like
just to kill him.
Is she is she gonna kill him? Is she gonna like get him apprehended by like authorities or whatever? Like
no, because she's already faked her own death, quote unquote, with the suicide. So
but that allowed her to like.
You're right. You know what? Yeah, that could have been like an undercover tactic type of thing.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't suspect.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't seem the type to be like an assassin, you know.
So. But I mean, she was visibly shaken when she was in the giant like.
Talk themselves into it, but yeah, I don't think that's why I'm asking. Like, I don't know if that's what the implication was.
I thought it was, and this is what Black Mirror does so well an open ended like ending like that, because she could have gone to kill them, she could have just arrested him, or we don't know what happened after she turned that corner. He could have been waiting for her,
yeah.
He didn't seem like too physically imposing, but we never saw any evidence contrary to that. So, who knows?
She very easily spotted this like blonde woman sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. He just thought she was an escaped Nazi. That's it. Who knows? She could have liked what he did. Now they're going to have married and have kids. Some social media babies. Yeah,
I got him. Check out this ring, girl.
If you're asking me, I always thought she would kill him, but that you said that's not really her thing. It's not like she's I don't know. All right, any other things you guys wanted to talk about from this? I mean, my notes I had is I had X-Files feel, the bees we talked about, bee MRI. I like the fact that he was getting back at all the spineless tweeters, is what I have written here. Yeah. And once again, I have it that I like the fact that a lot of these episodes are in the not too distant future, and this was definitely felt like that.
I mean, the only like high tech stuff was the self-driving car. Yeah, obviously the bees and how they could more so that they could self-replicate.
I like the beehives, all squares, like a Minecraft beehive.
And like the drone logo, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. In the office building?
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
I don't know. You think there would have been like a... They would have had a better like built-in like fail-safe for these things. Like...
You would think, but...
Yeah.
Engineers always fuck up.
Those damn engineers. What have they ever done for us?
They're too busy thinking if they could to stop to think if they should.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's right.
That's chaos theory.
That should be like a college class. 101, like ethics. Yeah. Engineering ethics. Should you do this?
Just because you could doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, I can't do this, but should you?
They're paying us.
That's the whole class.
They're not just paying us money. They're paying us a shitload of money.
Hey, you're right. And when you're right, you're right.
I love a good Spaceballs Jurassic Park crossover. It's genius.
Yeah. Spared no expense.
All right. All right. So now that you've seen three episodes, where would you put this one? I have a feeling, from what I can tell, it's behind San Junipero, for sure.
Yeah.
Would you have this
ahead? Yeah, San Junipero 1, this 2, and then Playtest 3.
Okay. Alex?
So far, yes. That is also my list.
All right. Yeah, we have the next one coming up.
Until we talk about the next one.
Yeah. All right. Well, on to our next one, which is... Well, let me put it in here real quick so I have all the information. Give me one second. Enhance! Death to IMDb.
On screen.
Episode guy. Hold on. Because now we're finally on season 4. All right. Yeah. Season 4, episode 1. USS Callister.
I love the one sheet for this, by the way.
Yeah. It's great. This aired December 29th, 2017. Directed by Toby Haynes, written by Charlie Brooker and William Bridges, starring Jesse Plemons, Kristen Milioti, Jimmy Simpson, Michaela Cole, Billy Magnuson, Malanka Brooks, O.C. Ikhail, Paul G. Raymond.
Oh, hey, easy, Jeff.
And a couple of cameos, apparently.
Yeah, I didn't know about the... So apparently Kristen Dunst is in this. I did not recognize her or see her.
What?
And Aaron Paul, which I knew. He's the voice at the very end. Like, give me your loot. What do you got? That's Aaron Paul.
I knew that. King of Space.
Yeah, King of Space.
That was awesome. That was so good. I'm fucking King of Space.
Wait, where is... Oh, Jimmy Simpson. That's the McFoyle, right?
Yeah, amongst other things. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few, like Jeff, I'm curious if you recognize Kristen Milioti from anything else.
You know, I did at the time, but now I don't. Let me look real quick to see.
So,
yes.
Mostly an episode of 30 Rock.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
She's a very funny cameo. Well, not cameo, but like very funny character for one episode in that. Wolf of Wall Street, small part in that.
Palm Springs is what I remember her from.
Palm Springs.
And oh, that's her.
She's in that. But also in a recent TV show, Made for Love, which is has a very similar premise to this, actually. It was a series on HBO that I watched a few episodes. I should try to go back and finish it, but it's pretty good.
All right. Before we get into it, like I said, I've already seen this, so you guys will get your information. But just real quick, the little tagline here is, Captain Robert Daly presides over his crew with wisdom and courage, but a new recruit will soon discover nothing on the spaceship is what it seems. That tells you nothing about this episode.
That's very misleading.
Seriously, doesn't. That was great.
All right, so we'll start. Scott, which I know this is the first time you've seen it. What are your initial thoughts? And
So I've seen like the various promos and other things that pop up a lot for Black Mirror, and like this is one of them. Like the one that was clearly like a riff on Star Trek. You know that right away. That has my interest. Yeah, I had no, like, I didn't have very many preconceived notions about, like, how this episode would play out. It was way different than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, same.
A lot of ways it was like a Twilight Zone episode, like, just a different riff on that. But, I mean, like, a specific episode, that is. Obviously, Black Mirror and Twilight Zone
they're
basically the same show. I've always had a huge crush on Kristen Milioti. So it's
Milioti.
I think she was great here. Jesse Plemons is great here.
You mean not Matt Damon?
Is low wattage. Damon. Yeah.
Oh, poor Jesse Plemons.
No, no. Well, you guys never watched Breaking Bad, but he was in Breaking Bad. I think it was his first big breakout roles, and he's like one of the white supremacist meth dealers, and so they would call him Meth Damon on like all the boards and everything.
I see.
Best ever.
Yeah, like anyway, Jesse Plemons and his low wattage, like William Shatner that he's doing in this.
Yes. Yeah,
it was very great. Amusing to me. And he, you know, he's satisfactory creep as well. But I mean, we'll talk more about that as the episode goes along. But yeah, just watched it for the first time. As we've been saying for these other episodes. That's basically it. I feel like this is one of the, with no pun intended, like flagship episodes for the series.
Hey-o.
All right, Alex.
I love this episode. This is my favorite Black Mirror episode so far.
Oh, okay. Spoiler alert. All right.
Yeah, I know. Because series spoilers, because not only does it's really fucked up, but it's also got a happy ending, like a genuine one. Kinda. But mostly.
If you don't think too hard about what happened to Nanette in real life. After all that.
Or the Jimmy Simpson copy.
Yeah, that was kind of a small plot hole. Like, I wasn't sure if he was supposed to be alive or something.
Because he was burnt to a crisp when they erased the code for everything bad. Did he get erased also?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he was in a quote-unquote death state, probably, in the game.
But that's fine, because his real life, he's still living. It was just his copy that got deleted. We can talk about that as we get.
They were copies.
All right, well, just real quick, this guy, Daly, the Meth Damon character, he is CTO of this big MMO video game, basically. But he's an asshole. He takes DNA from his coworkers who feel he gets mistreated by. And, clones that puts
him. Sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
Let me just give the premise real quick. So he basically clones them. He puts them in his own personal version of the game that's been modded to look like Star Trek, or in this case, Space Fleet. And then he kind of tortures them in his game, where he has a god complex over all of these people who he feels have done wrong by him. But what they've done wrong to him, I think, is what Scott's going to say, is like really. Nothing. I mean, in Nanette's case, she does nothing wrong. I have no idea what she did to spurn him.
I think he just wanted his fantasy girl in the game with him.
Yeah,
I don't think she necessarily did anything wrong.
Like, he'd gotten over like the idea that someone had to have like wronged him.
But I would agree with you, except it happens right after the other girl tells him, "Oh, stay away from him. Keep your distance. He's starry." Oh.
Yeah, he's eavesdropping.
But I don't think he's getting back at her, though. I think he generally has this like instant obsession with her.
I think it's because he's like, all right, this is clearly not going to happen in real life. Let's go to the game.
Maybe.
Yeah. But it was like day two. Like, I don't know. Like, I felt
at this point, like, she tells, like, at one point in the episode, like, she tells him that he's not well. Like, he's devolved enough into like needing that world, like, that he doesn't think about like whether he should be doing it or not.
Yeah,
at least not very hard.
Again, engineers, should you just because you can? Should you?
I think with the intern, like, he gave the wrong coffee order, right? Like, that's a pretty weak reason to do it too. But
yeah, very weak. But it,
what's
it,
her face? Didn't smile enough. She was blue.
She didn't smile at anybody, though.
I was going to say that the episode does like do a good job of, at first, it does seem sympathetic. Like, you do think he's like this abused, like, trodden on guy in this, like, because everybody's kind of like ignoring him, or not outright being hostile, but like not treating him well.
Stepping on him. Yeah.
But you realize that everything you see is kind of the extent of it. So it's actually not that bad. Like, not enough to warrant, like, what he winds up doing.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And my first note is, you feel sorry for him at first. Because at first, okay, he's, he's an introvert. He, you know, he's a smart computer guy, but yeah, people are stepping all over him. No one's giving him coffee. The boss shits all over him, his teammates. But then he just, yeah, whatever. None of that is worth what he does to these people for revenge.
Well, to these poor NPCs. Yeah. This is why I'm always nice to the NPCs. I know, not technically NPCs, because they're copied from a real
human intelligence. We'll get into it as Jeff recaps, but
yeah,
like I think that's one of the, you know, again, going back to the morals and lessons of in this episode, it's a little more subtle, but you know, cloning, like,
yeah, like, even digitally,
like, yeah, cloning and sentience, like, what, you know, what are the moral grounds to treating like a clone or a sentient like piece of software? You know, like, I think that's what this episode kind of angles toward.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go back to the very beginning. It's a Star Trek episode, basically. Like, what are you guys thinking when you first see this? And you know, nothing's up. You just see this guy act something that looks like Star Trek and you're watching a Star Trek episode. Like, what are you guys thinking when you first see it?
I was wondering how they were going to break like the reality. Like, was this the real universe where the story takes place and then something like really unexpected but super fucked up happens? Was it going to be like a Pleasantville type of situation? And nope, turns out it was like when I first saw him in the elevator, it was like, oh shit, does he think he's like this in real life? Like, this is real life, but in his imagination, is he the captain? And living his everyday life vicariously, you know, in these little moments. But it's just, yeah, it's a game simulation at the end.
Yeah. First, I thought that it was all just going to be the Star Trek stuff. And
yeah,
we were going to, like, learn through the episode that at least the captain was just, like, more and more evil. Like Sat Brannigan levels where, like, he's just causing way more harm than good. Like, I kind of thought that's where it might be going. Yeah,
because it starts off corny, but at the very end where they're just like, you're the best, he's a jolly good fella. Like, you know, they're overdoing it. And
it's like, what is going on?
And the girl's just lining up to get kissed and all that stuff.
Uhura style, sorry, Uhura style mm-hmm. from original Star Trek, where Kirk kisses her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good thing there's no tongue. Starfleet.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to him in the elevator, and all of a sudden, you know, his hair, you know, he's balding as opposed to a full set of hair. He's, I feel like his skin is a little more, just not as nice. He's got glasses on, and all right, that's interesting. And then he just, yeah, goes in and you find all the stuff that people are kind of shitting on him. But he's smart. He's a computer guy. He's a CTO. So you know, automatically you see that. Okay, well, this guy knows some stuff, which is interesting. And then, you meet this girl, the new employee who really likes him, is there for his job and his code, and he sucks her into the game. And her whole experience, I think, was interesting.
And yeah, then, when she woke up in there.
Yeah. And so what did you guys think about when he's not in the game, the NPCs are still just living their lives? We'll call them NPCs from now on, but yeah, whatever. Yeah. Like,
that was my favorite parts of this episode, when it's just them, like, mm-hmm. like where they're like, oh God, you're like taking a break from having to pretend about all that stuff. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just flip over the bar. He goes straight for the bar.
Yeah. All the mundane like stuff they get into, I think my favorite line of the whole episode might have been just the receptionist NPC. She's like, they're talking about how she's all blue, and she's like, it's almost kind of racist.
Yeah.
I like when they're down on the planet and like the big bug. He has to pause out to get his pizza or whatever, and then the bug just starts just sitting there chilling. It's like, oh, how you doing?
Yeah. That was funny. And then it was immediately sad because it was somebody else's digital clone that got turned into that thing.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I did like in the planet scene, since we're talking about that, when he tricks Valdak, so Billy Magnuson's character,
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, there's a naked woman over there. And he goes, really? Like, that's actually him. Like, it wasn't him playing along. That was actually him, like, actually hoping to see, like, a naked woman over there.
Yeah. Brilliant strategy, sir.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, like, so I guess we talked about he steals. Yeah, she steals her. I guess I still don't understand why he went after her. He likes her, but I mean, I felt like it wasn't anything sexual or anything in this world. They even go about saying that. So I just thought it is
a little bit.
Yeah, sure, a little bit.
But he can't. Yeah, he's too awkward to actually broach that sexual barrier. That's why it's in Starfleet. He uses that as an excuse to the extent that he doesn't use tongue, because that would be too sexy for Starfleet.
Yeah.
But it's really because he doesn't know how to get there yet.
I think again, he's just like, so used to like doing that, he thinks it's so like that he doesn't stop. Like, maybe with the others, like, he thought about it at first. Like, we never see it, but mm-hmm. like, he sees this girl that he's interested in, and he becomes, you know, immediately obsessed with her. So this is his way to like connect with her.
Mm-hmm. You go swimming.
All right. Well, then yeah, she shows up. They explain everything to her, and she, you know, she's like, fuck this. And then she won't listen to him. And then he just morphs her face into not having any. You find out like how he's a god basically in this world, and takes away her mouth and nose, and she's suffocating and brings her in line. And I did like when she goes, he's like, bring up something or whatever. You know, go to the computer, and she's sitting there. She has no idea what to do. And the other girl's just like, all the buttons are the same. Just hit one.
Yeah, that I was love great. That.
Yeah. So I'm just going through my notes here. I like when they're talking about how you're saying it's Starfleet, it's PG, and, you know, take a look at your genitals. She's like, stealing my pussy is crossing the line.
It's definitely crossing the red line. Mm-hmm.
Him playing with his, just like, we even tried rubbing them together. Nothing.
It's all numb down there.
Anything else before we get to like the plans to escape? I mean, I think it's kind of sets the nothing much more there, right?
Again, yeah. Everybody's funny here in the cast. I really like we mentioned it to start, but his low wattage Kirk, like, he's got like the intonation down pretty well. When he goes into like creeper mode, like it's kind of subtle, or at least slower. So that's good work on his part. And then, I just love her reactions to everything. That helps sells the episode. When, you know, you talk about the plan, like when she's faking it, that's really funny to me. We'll get more into that.
Yeah.
I did like when, he goes to kiss her and then she slaps him, and they're in the middle of the, he's a jolly good fellow, and she slaps him, and Jimmy Simpson goes, oh my fuck. And then he's, Plemons is like, oh, I'll show you mercy, and the other guy,
Paul G. Raymond,
Kabir, he's like, very good mercy showing, sir.
Shut up.
So how do you think? So this is one where there's crossover and tech. So the way he gets into his world is with the same little device that they were using to get into San Junipero.
Yeah. See, I was going to wait for the end, but I think the playtest might also be connected to these episodes. Maybe not officially, but they could be in the same universe, just at different timelines.
Sure. I think it was just a way to a cool way to connect the series. Like, I don't think there's any, like, anything to be taken from one to the other, but,
Right. But still, it's the same little doohickey with the lights in the circle.
Yep.
And what are the odds that this guy is friends with, God, I forgot his name. The guy from Grandma's Boy. Adios, turd nuggets. Just like when I saw his little apartment or flat, I felt like he had a little segue in his office too, that he was going to try.
Please sit on my face.
So anyway, yeah, Nanette gets in there and she's like, I'm going to hack my way out of here. And she finds a solution. She texts herself through the game or whatever. And then she just rats herself out to him, which was like, oh, no, don't tell him. Mm-hmm. So that's when he goes back and punishes them. And
yeah, send the internet police.
Yeah.
Oh, which is a callback to a, well, it could be a callback to that old, old video of that dad raging on the webcam and his daughter was crying. You guys remember that one?
No.
Well, the daughter was really sad. She was having a bad time. And what could a dad do? And this was like in the like late 90s, early 2000s. So I'm sure he didn't know a lot about computers, but he was raging at the webcam going, I'm going to get the internet police. I'm going to get the internet police and they're going to catch you and put you in jail. It was a big rant. It was, well, looking back on it now, it was, yeah, it was heartbreaking. But I saw internet police and that's the first thing that I saw. So thought of it. So.
All right. Well, her next plan is to use the update that's being uploaded into the system to get out of the system, which I think is a feasible thing, right? He has his own private thing, but if you somehow get into the upload server, your code's going to find the anomaly. And I don't know, the firewall, mm-hmm. they use firewall loosely here, but whatever. Something will kind of like, oh, this is rogue code. We're going to deny you from the server.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think it's plausible for this scenario. So they come up with the whole thing about distracting him and stealing his transporter, whatever the fuck it's called in Star Trek. Yeah. What did you guys think of that? I mean, I'll just say the one thing that Scott mentioned earlier, the distraction. When she's in the water with him, I'm dying. Because she's just like, she's insane, basically. Something just came up. I'm like, I'm just kidding. And then she just splashes him, but with like, the same way Dumb and Dumber when he throws snow at her. Yeah, like
it's like, like angrily splashing. Yeah. That was very funny.
The one thing I didn't get was why didn't they just keep his transponder? Because then he wouldn't be able to do anything.
Well, he didn't need it.
I think the whole thing was they just wanted to keep him distracted as long as possible, right?
So like if he noticed it missing, then he'd be suspicious of like what they were doing.
Yeah, but if they beamed up the transponder and then she would have distracted him in some other way so that she could get beamed up and then just left him on the rock without the transponder. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he didn't need it for anything, though. That's why I don't.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, he didn't need that.
I guess not. Okay. That's the end of that chapter.
So anyway, I like that whole thing about her knowing herself and knowing that she had some incriminating photos on her phone that she would so never want to get out.
Blackmail yourself.
Yeah.
I think at first they're like, she's boring. Like, she's basic. And then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh.
Yeah. I'm like, should I stop looking at these? Yeah, about 9 photos ago.
Yeah. Any of the nine past photos would work.
So yeah, they get her current self to go basically into his house and steal the DNA. So that was the one thing, whereas they could get out of the game, but if he still has the DNA, they just do it again, or he just do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So they go in, get a pizza guy delivery. I don't know. I don't know. If a free pizza just showed up at my house, I'm trying to think whether or not I'd eat it or not. Just like in the last episode where she gets a cake and she eats it. I probably would. Who am I kidding? But it's suspicious. I'd be looking out the window with my eyes be shifting all over the place. If I got free pizza or cake.
Who got me this pizza?
It's delicious. Yeah, and that was the other thing. They replaced his, I forgot what they called it, his temple button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he blew on it like an NES cartridge.
Yeah, that was great.
I was going to have that on my notes too. He blew on it, which was good. But unfortunately, he had a backup, so he gets back into the system. But they outrace him, and they make it to the patch just in time. Anything you guys want to talk about there? This is when it turns into a full Star Trek episode, basically, right?
We can't go through the meteor area. It's too dense. We'll never make it.
Well, here they're waiting to like take off. And like she's in the captain's chair and he won't go. And he's like, well, usually like the captain says something like engage or whatever. Just like, just fucking go.
Yeah.
And then at the very end too, when like they ask her, like, where should we go? Well, let's just fuck off somewhere. Give anything specific.
King of Space. So, yeah.
It's basically a Star Trek episode. They're mining, you know, they're going through the asteroid belt or wherever the fuck that is. And then, of course, some part of the ship gets hurt and someone needs to go down to a core reactor and fix it. And that's when
the Kobayashi Maru.
Walton goes down there and he buys some time by apologizing, which, like he said, it's kind of everything he says is true. Like, I did treat you incorrectly and all this shit, but you fucking cloned you threw my son out of an airlock, so go fuck yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, so that guy was, like, really the only one he should have had, like, legitimate, like, beef with. Everybody else seemed, like, just really petty, like, by the end of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they make it through it just in time. He doesn't. And then they thought they would end themselves by doing that, but basically it didn't. It just detached them from the private server, and now they're in the main cloud.
They got their genitalia back.
Yes, they got their junk back. They're not in the modded scenario, so they just got regular infinity clothes or whatever the name of the game was. And they're interacting with... They're back in the good old gamer world and just assholes. assholes. And that's hilarious. But I guess before we get to that... so did you guys like... And then he's stuck there. And basically you think he's just, I guess, stranded in his own world. And then you find out the system finds out he's an anomaly or whatever, and he gets basically...
Yeah, he gets brain dead, deleted. Brain dead, disconnected. So I suspect, yeah.
Yeah. I think we could assume he died there, right? I mean, he's drooling and his hand goes limp. And
It's like, get the... Yeah,
I was going to... I forgot... Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, at the very least, he's comatose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll send him to San Junipero. I forgot that he did die at the end of this, to be honest with you. So I was like, okay, they do all of this, but nobody really knows in the real world knows what he did, right? They sent Nanette to do this, but they didn't really give her all the details, right? They're just telling her to do this to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that really doesn't solve anything, but it did if he dies. So.
So her stealing the stuff didn't matter.
Yeah, in the end, I guess it kind of didn't.
You're right.
Because they didn't know that was going to happen.
Like, yeah. So now they're back in the real world, and in the main game world, and ship comes by, and, yo, what are you doing here? What do you want to trade? We got nothing. And he just kicks him out of, it's hilarious. Aaron Paul. I'm king of space. Might as well have added bitch to the end of it, like his character in Breaking Bad. That was really cool. Scott already said, "Yeah, let's just fuck off."
I liked the one lady wanted to fight though.
Yeah. All right. So, so what do you think? So they're still stuck in the game, though.
Yeah, right, but then they can't go into the real world at all. But they've got an infinite game world where they can go anywhere.
But is that still out of there? They didn't want to be there to begin with. So is that?
Well, they wanted to be free of the captain and all his tortures.
I understand that. But would you just not exist? You know your real version's out there? Or do you still want to exist in this fake world? So basically, what I have here is, last movie was heaven is a place on Earth. This movie is hell is a place on Earth. Right? If you're in his personal game.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But then it kind of turns into heaven because they can go anywhere. They can go like way deep into the cloud servers or wherever where there's no players yet. They can get their own little patch of land, a little planet to call their own, whatever.
So to kind of go back to like the beginning of the, you know, the moral lesson, whatever, to tie it into to what Jeff's saying here. So they all recognize that they're not the people that live in the real world.
Like, yeah.
They still think and act and feel like those people do and would, but on that level they realize that they're not like a part of that world. So like it is interesting that they're all on board with it. You know, from a psychological standpoint, who knows how long the other people have like been trapped in there. Like So they're maybe more willing to accept what's going on, of like this new chance to like, but you know, it's better than dying kind of thing. Like it goes back to the same Junipero thing about, mm-hmm. You know, whether you should do that or not. It's,
that's what I was going to say. Even in San Junipero, they know they're not, it's not real anymore.
Right. So you can still be happy, at least for a time.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the difference is that in San Junipero, they think once they're in the program that that's them. They got completely, not their bodies, but their souls and personalities got transferred into the machine.
Right.
And this we're just a copy of their brain and electrical impulses. Maybe not that far. Maybe they actually think that it's a copied consciousness. But
I think the only difference is it's a move. It's a cut and paste versus a copy and paste. In both cases, they know, right? In both cases, they know they're a copy and they're put in this new virtual world. Just in one case, there is no source anymore. In the other, in the one case, there is a source. That's really the only difference.
Yeah.
But I think that's a very key distinction, though.
Yes.
Like, in Callister, they know that they're leading a separate life now. Like they're two completely different things, whereas the other one, they were still one and the same, because they weren't in two places at once.
Yeah.
So you'd always know that there was these other people that are you, like living the life that you had. Right. I mean that has to shape how you would like view your life moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously make it seem like no one had like. They make the jokes about how you can't even take a shit. The simple pleasure of taking a shit. So like they clearly don't need sustenance. Like they're effectively immortal as far as like, you know, it seems like.
As long anyways. As they, yeah. As long as the servers are running.
Or at least as long as like the ship doesn't blow up or whatever. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if Aaron Paul with Gamer 691 would have shot him right there?
Maybe that
would
have ended them. Yeah. They might have. So that's another interesting.
So then, why do they need their buttholes and junk back if they still are? Okay, now I'm just now this is just being stupid, but people are paying to play this game. Wouldn't the servers know that there's like this? An NPC, but it's whatever.
They know what the system updates look like, so. Or the, mm-hmm. the software updates look like, so they can avoid them.
Except now they have a CTO. Who becomes the CTO? Mm. Kristen or
Nanette?
Kabir.
Kabir.
Kabir's probably been longer at the company.
Yeah. Yeah. Just back to the whole thing though about the cloning, and so we've talked about like how they react and what they would think, but like looking at how. Daly treats them like he's effectively like it, to me he's effectively like torturing human beings, like living humans, and there's really no distinction there between if he did that there, if he did like something similar in the real world at that point. Like I'm curious, like in his own mind, if he thinks that or not.
I would say no. What you said is 100% right, but I think that's the distinction he made in his mind.
I think that's like always going to be the argument, like, or that's always going to be like people didn't know they were hurting people online, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Goes back to the bees. But so I am curious, like how much he realized what he was doing was that honked up. On some level, he had to know, like, because he's like sneaking around stealing people's DNA and things. And like, why would it be fun for a normal person to toss a kid out an airlock like that? Like, it just wouldn't be. So he's obviously a disturbed person, which again isn't necessarily the same level as like being a serial killer in the real world. But you know, like for like us as the viewers being able to pull back, like, yeah, they're effectively like living people.
Yeah. It's fucked up. I forgot. That's what it is.
When the cast listed, we said there was the cameos of Aaron Paul and Kirsten Dunst. I think she's married to Jesse Plemons, isn't she?
She is. She is.
Yeah, okay. So that makes sense why she was probably just on set or something. And
they it was one of the last Academy, it was probably several years ago now, like before the pandemic, but Academy Awards, whoever was hosting the show made a joke where they went over and sat next to Kirsten Dunst and they pretended that Jesse Plemons was just like a seat filler. Let's see if I can find the clip. You tell me like he was laughing, but he wasn't really laughing. Like,
I guess better him than her, because she's more the seat filler these days than he is, right?
Ooh, hey, ooh.
Maybe if you don't got to win.
Not 2001 anymore there, Kirsten.
Dang.
I don't know. Maybe she does stuff, but I haven't seen anything.
I don't think Jeff made it like that, Alex.
Wait, what? He did.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
I didn't mean it like that.
Anything else?
No, this is just a really fun episode. Like, whoever, like, if it was Booker, like, clearly, like, has some Star Trek knowledge. Because they really kind of nail the Kirk stuff and, like, the campiness of the 60s show. And then how, like you guys said, it really felt like a Star Trek episode, like, toward the end. Like, it kept gearing up towards that.
Yeah. And by the way, this Charlie Brooker, he's credited as a writer on every single episode.
He must be a creator then, right?
Yeah, I think it's his show, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah, probably.
I know they have writer's rooms in this, and so he's probably not the single writer, but he is involved in all of them, which is pretty interesting.
He just goes into the writer's room, goes, "What about this? Okay, write it." And then he goes out. Yeah. Credit.
I mean, like I said, this is, if you think about it, this is San Junipero, just in a different, flipped on its head, or used for personal vengeance. So like but I like it. It's a totally different story, but at the same time, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a few years later, because you don't need like this big server with like the screw in the personalities into the servers. You can just do it on your home PC. I mean, it's pretty like top of the line, I'm guessing, but still. You know,
in this case, there's no real network interfaces. It's just him.
That's true.
Servers, right?
Yeah,
everything's just local.
That's true.
Although it still had to be plugged in because it was getting the update, which you would think he would have a block on that. Anyways,
what an idiot.
So I think Scott, let's go through. So you guys, we did last episode. You guys said San Junipero. The last one just said Hate in the Nation, and then Playtest. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming this one's bumping down at least Hated in the Nation. So where are we at here, Scott? Where will you put this?
So San Junipero. Then
Sucupatero.
San Junipero. Then USS I keep wanting to say McAllister. USS
Kevin McAllister. The Home Alone ship.
Then Hated in the Nation. Then Playtest.
Okay. Alex. Flipped at the top, right?
Yes, flipped at the top. This is my favorite, USS McAllister. And then San Junipero, and then Hated in the Nation, and Playtest.
All right. For me, it's definitely San Junipero. It's between this and Hated in the Nation. I really like both these episodes a lot. I probably put this too, but it's very close. And then Playtest at the end. All right. Anything else? I will have to pick two. We won't do them this Halloween season, but maybe later in the year or maybe next Halloween, I'll pick up a couple more. I think I got all the nice and friendly ones out of the way, though. So now you got we're going to get a little darker. I mean, I can still find good ones.
If Hate of the Nation is one of the happier ones, Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
So wait,
oh my God.
Jeff, happier, so wait, Jeff, you said Callister, then either Hated in the Nation, then San Junipero?
San Junipero is number one.
Okay, okay.
And then
it was tight between
Callister.
Okay.
I think it was the same as you. Okay. Yeah, Callister, Hated in the Nation. But it's close. Two and three are really close to me. If you ask me a different day, I could switch it. This is going to be really... Maybe we should have all four of our listeners vote on other ones that we should watch. The national, I'm just going to really quickly for whatever, just so we can talk here. National Anthem. No, we'll never watch that one again. That's the pig fucking one.
Yeah.
I happen to like episode 2 of season 1 called 15 Million Merits. It's disturbing, but not as bad. That's where these people are kind of stuck in some world, a weird underground world where they're just like riding bikes to gain credits, and they live in their little rooms, and the credits give them one. Access to go on some like reality, like
That one's just depressing.
America's Got Talent show. Yeah, it's depressing, but it's some good acting. The guy from what are those horror movies?
From Get Out.
Get Out, yeah. The main character from Get Out and the buddy in Black Panther. He's the main character in that one, and he's really good. And
I know. Sorry. Okay, so going back to Callister real quick. Shania, Michaela Cole, she's one of the, I forget what they're called, but like the Queen's Guard in, the Black Panther movies.
Oh,
okay. Sherry, he said, whatever, his sister, she's, in one of these episodes too. We haven't gotten to that one, but she's in one. The entire history of you, that's kind of fucked up. I think that's the one, Alex, that you and Leah stopped watching.
That's where we stopped.
People have memory implants in their heads, and then you can just like tap into your spouses and see what they were looking at and doing and stuff. It's fucked up. Yeah. We won't watch that one. Be right back. Well, the good thing about this is Captain Carter, you get to see some of her goods in it, but it's pretty fucked up, so we probably won't watch that one. White Bear is interesting. Maybe we'd watch that one. I don't want to explain it. The Waldo moment sucks. White Christmas is a good one. That's with John Hamm. Yeah, I don't know. See, some of these are good.
Is White Christmas literally a Christmas episode?
I think so.
Maybe we should do it for around Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Although, did you notice at the end of Callister that it played a few notes of Silent Night?
Did not.
Yeah. It was like Christmas time in that one too. So technically that was a Christmas episode we watched.
Oh shit. We fucked up.
Season 3, we watched already 3 of those episodes, but Nosedive is probably the most popular one. That's with more social media stuff and everything. And that's with Bryce Dallas Howard. That's a really good one. We'll do that one day. We did play test. Shut Up and Dance is fucked up. I don't think we'll do that one, but it's good. I don't know. That one, maybe I'll do that. The Men Against Fire, once again, fucked up. All right. I don't know season 4 as well. We did USS Callister. There's some good ones here. Hang the DJ. All right. And then I have to catch up. Maybe we can all watch season 6 together. I don't know. All right.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sports ball?
Earlier this week, one Jeff took out a young upstart on the hockey rink, giving him trips him up, probably giving him a concussion for good measure, earning himself a penalty this week. And they went on to win. Did you guys win that game?
First of all, I did not get a penalty. I probably should have, but I did not give a penalty. He was fine. He's merely a flesh wound. He skated away. Yes, we won.
Yay.
Jeff's a goon.
Despite an own goal. Did I read that right?
Yeah, I scored a goal. I scored an own goal. I had 2 penalties and an assist. I was all over the damn score sheet.
Damn.
I blocked a shot at the point and it's stolen by the goalie. It's not really an own goal, but technically.
Did you try to take off one of your skates and stab somebody with it?
I did not.
Oh. Okay, what are you even doing out there?
Are you trying?
Yeah.
But no, it was kind of fun. It was like, I played the night before, so I'm just starting to get back into hockey. But I'm playing in a pretty low O division over there, but it's fun as I'm getting back into it. But the night before, my brother and my friend Adam asked me to play in their league, which is much higher. And my fiance watched me for the first time. She's never actually watched before because like I was in COVID. But all that stuff. So she went, and then it's right by where our friend Matt lives. So he came and watched. So I had a couple friends watch that game. Me and my brother and Adam did okay. And then the next night, she was going to watch again. And then we have some friends from out of town in town because of the wedding next weekend.
Whoa.
And they all went to, they all went to watch. So Laura and them showed up. And then Adam happened to have a game too that night, and he hung out with them. So I had a big crowd in there cheering for me and booing me. And that was fun.
Damn, yeah, you should have told me. Because right now, we're right next to the Ice Palace. We're like 10 minutes away.
Yeah, but this was in Anaheim.
So. Oh, this is a different one.
This is a different rink, yeah.
So, Brian doesn't play at the Ice Palace?
The one at Aliso?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Brian plays in Yorba Linda. It's like right next to my old condo.
Oh, okay.
Like way out there. That's where we played on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I played in Anaheim, over like in downtown Anaheim. And the game is at 9:45 at night. So, I'm pretty sure you're interested in going to that. Yeah. Anyway, that's really your sports story?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. It's time for Neo News.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a whole lot for me. Just that the actor strike is still going strong. They'd walked away recently, but now they're talking about getting to it again. Hope this is settled soon. Just for the sake of ongoing projects that I might have been interested in seeing them on the big screen at home, wherever. But speaking of which, now that the writers are back, they've started doing some of the late night shows again, which is a thing that I watch clips of without guests, I'm assuming. For at least people that are a part of the actors strike. I'm sure they have stuff like musicians and stuff on or whoever else, but
yeah,
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But that's back. Just hopefully having the writers, will, I don't know. Again, keep things, afloat for some of the other projects. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe like we already talked about Marvel needing to slow down, and they definitely have. The momentum on that is definitely waned. So maybe this is
good. This is Marvel. This is Marvel, not DC.
Both.
Can't do it, Mr. Wayne.
Yeah, outside of that, not too much. Some games coming out next month. Remakes of old games, just like movies. It's all sequels and remakes and reboots and updates. But we'll talk more about that then. A couple games for the Switch, early next month.
Yeah, I'm hearing good things from Super Mario Wonder.
Super Mario Wonder is out. Yeah, I'm curious about that one. That looks like fun.
Everybody at the office that's been playing has been raving about it, so I would play it.
Yeah, maybe give that a whirl. Outside of that, nothing really more from me. Alex, anything you wanted to go over?
Yeah, I'm finally playing Baldur's Gate.
The first one?
Dark Alliance.
Okay.
On the PS2. I always get that, what would you call it, Scott? Once I finish like a big game and everything, and it's like, I don't want to know that hazy period where I don't know what to do with my life.
It's always that thing where,
say hi to your children.
But it's like, what do I do for entertainment? It's like, do I pick up a book? Do I read Lord of the Rings again?
No, there's always that,
sadness, like sadness, like emptiness. I don't know, like what the exact word for it is. Where you just like,
yeah, the Germans probably have a word for it.
Like, I wish I could do. What was that, Alex?
The Germans probably have a word for it.
They probably do. Yeah, a very long one. Yeah,
right. That's a good one.
Yeah,
but yeah. Just that idea like, now that that's over, like, that I greatly enjoyed that. Like, I connected with it. It's not going to be the same again. Like, you know, yeah, we like, what's the next thing going to be? Or, you know, like, bum that, you know, I won't get that first time around kind of feeling.
Right. Well, it wasn't that strong this time because it was Starfield. And that game was mid, as the kids call it for me anyways. So I start, and usually I like trade off between genres. So I did a hard sci-fi game. So usually I would do like a fantasy game, but this time I was like, oh, I already have like the Halo Master Chief Collection installed on my PC. Might as well play that for a little bit. And I started playing Halo Reach. And there's a couple technical things that I had to do to get the audio working correctly in that game. But after that, it's still Halo, still Reach. The controls are really tight.
You have to go into DOS.
Like, I had to do
enable your sound card.
I had to modify a bin file in my text editor. I had to switch 1-0 to 1, and then the sound worked. My sound card worked perfectly.
The old sound card works perfectly.
So I was playing that for a bit and was like, I'm not really feeling it. So after I get like that, then I usually go into like the old school retro games. And it's like, yeah, I was looking at all the games that I've emulated and everything. And it's like, oh, Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. I played the shit out of that when it came out. And I haven't played it since. So I started a new game of that. Still pretty fun.
There I think you should play Myst or Return to Zork.
And I got to say, I have both of those, actually, from good old games.
There you go.
So, yeah, you know what? Maybe I should.
Do you have, Alex, do you have...
But without cheating.
Yeah, I know. I'll give it a shot.
I don't think your brain can do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, maybe once upon a time. Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
Yeah, Alex, do you have the Nintendo Online subscription?
I do.
Okay. You can almost, like, I start playing Chrysalis.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's one of the ones I never played.
Yeah, give that a whirl.
Hmm. But yeah, that's it for me.
So I was just going to say that you were looking for a term, and I think the Smashing Pumpkins third album is what you're looking for. It's Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
There you go. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. despite all your rage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, here's the other thing. Maybe I should make a new segment on the show called Alex's Hot Take.
Oh, God.
And my hot take is that the Spy Kid movies are better than the Avatar movies.
Is that really that hot of a take?
Yeah, I guess not. I guess everybody feels that way.
Definitely hot of a take, but also, like, even, like, the Spy Kid movies in and of themselves, like, there's a vast, like, degree of quality there, right? Am I wrong?
Yes. But I think they push technology farther than the Avatar movies do. They certainly, judging by how much budget the Spy Kids movies has as opposed to what they rake in, like, I think they make more money overall.
Pretty cost effective.
And yeah. And also, Billy Magnuson was in the latest Spy Kids entry, Spy Kids Armageddon, and where the Spy Kids had to go into this virtual game world to stop the bad guy that was trying to take over the world. Like, the thing was, like, this, he put his video game on everything, and you couldn't access like your ATM card or your ATM balance at the ATM without playing a game first. You couldn't get into your, like, your automated electric lock or the doors or anything without, like, beating a level from his game, and that's what they had to stop. So there you go. Oh, that movie starred Zachary Levi as well, so star power.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else?
Nope, that's it for reals this time.
All right, Hefe, what do you got?
A couple things. I'm getting married this weekend, so I gotta get this out there.
Why wasn't I invited?
It's
you are invited.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's not to me or Alex, by the way.
Oh yeah, I know the one that got
to
away.
I know some people ship us, but that's
yeah. That's the threesome of doom right there.
Come and knock on our door.
Yeah. Oh, R.I.P. Suzanne Summers.
Oh, that's right. R.I.P. Yeah, we did mention that.
But yes, Laura and I are getting married this weekend, so that'll be wonderful. Then we're going on a honeymoon, so just as a heads up, the next couple weeks I will not be here, but I think the guys will have something in store for you.
Yeah.
We'll see if this machine can keep going without me.
We'll see. You listeners better get your big brains on for our next episodes.
All right. I can't wait to listen to it while I'm sucking down Mai Tais on the beach. Spoiler alert, I won't be listening. But
how dare you?
Yeah, come on. He doesn't want to be stressed out on his honeymoon.
So I'm sure you've had them before, Jeff, but I highly recommend Lava Flows. As long as you're getting like fruity tropical drinks, like do that. Yeah. Lava flows are quite tasty.
I'll have one or two. They're the most like calorific drinks I think I've ever made, but I'll have a couple.
I have Lava Flows, go have a shave ice, go get some loco moco, some real spamasubi.
Yeah.
Some poi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, should be fun. We're going to the Big Island. Never been there before. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, and like, I think as I mentioned before, I think we said Alex and Scott will be there. They're part of they're the groomsmen. So you guys have very little duties, but you have some duties day of and duties. Then get drunk. I think Alex has to have at least 10 beers from what I've been told.
Drinks.
Yep.
Drinks. Sorry. Like, alcoholics.
Dad, listen to me. You have to have, you can only have 10 beers minimum. My kids told me. I'm like, are you sure, buddy? It's like, yeah. Okay, maybe we'll go 15.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Wait, they're just looking out for you.
They're
just looking out for you. Oh, man.
All right, well, I'll give an update after all that when I'm back. But the other things I have going on, I have to talk about this because it's been cracking me up. As mentioned earlier, I've started playing hockey again. The teams that I were on, they all kind of disbanded during COVID. And so now some of these people don't even live here anymore. And I'm trying to find a new team. And there's an app I just use, you know, like a free agent thing. Hey, I'm looking for a team. And I fell into this guy's communications. We talked and I joined their team. And it's hilarious. Most of them are like a lot younger than us. I mean, they're like in their 20s. And again, the name of the team is the Ice Sabres. I don't think anything about it. And then the Sabres part is literally a lightsaber. Like their logo is like a hockey guy holding.
And then you a quit. Lightsaber. And then you quit because you don't cotton to playing with nerds.
Yeah. Well, I'm just sitting there, and then like, and not only that's their logo, but then they have like, he's like, "What code do you want?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Well, you can get a green one, or you can get a red one, or you can get a purple one, or you can get a blue one. And I'm like, "All right." All that's happened. Fine. They've gave me the iron-ons. I'm supposed to iron them on my jersey. I haven't done that yet. The other day, that game we were talking about, I got it player of the game, MVP of the game, and they gave me like Republic credits. Like if you've been to the Star Wars land at Disneyland,
that's awesome.
They sell Republic credits. So I got this little bronze medallion Republic credits. I'm like, oh, all right. You guys are pretty good here. And then I'm not really paying attention, and they keep talking about who they want to be. Who do you want to be? And this one guy's like, well, I want to be Vader and Skywalker. Or I want to be Anakin and something like that. I just like, simply like, spoiler alert, Anakin is Darth Vader. These guys are just like, oh, they're fucking hilarious. But then today the guy texts and I see all this. They have a Discord server. First of all, I can't keep up with these young kids on the internet. They're just on this thing.
Yeah. Don't even try.
All the time. And they're just talking about practices and stuff. But they're on this jersey subthread or whatever. And they're creating new jerseys for next season. But they want us to have like not our real names on the back. They want us to have like Star Wars based names on the back of our jersey. So.
What do they call it on Swick? The Tuckerization of your name on there?
Yeah, that's true. But I'm going through and I'm seeing like, yeah, this guy's like, I want to be Revan. Oh, also, we have a white jersey and a dark jersey. So a light and a dark. Or they want you to have a good name. on the light jerseys and a dark name on the back. Okay. And so, like, I'm going to read you some of these things, right? Well, first of all, these all go by, and I'm not really paying attention. I kind of see it. You know, I have bigger things going on right now. And then the captain texts me. He's like, I don't know if you're coming back next season, but if you are, go check the thread. And I suggest you pick two names soon, because all the good names are getting taken. And I was like, all right, well, I know my Star Wars characters. I can pick an obscure character, even if all the names are gone. You know, I could be Ponda Baba or whatever. Like, I got some names.
Crying. Yeah.
Yeah. So I go to the thread, and it's just the generation gap, man, and it's cracking me up. I got Revan as the good guy and Cad Bane is dark. I'm like, all right. Other guy, I got Nihilus. My Latin's kind of dark.
Nihilus. Yeah.
Nihilus. That makes more sense. Yes. And then Starkiller. All right. One guy has Vader and Skywalker. All right. I guess that's pretty.
Yeah, it's on a bit on the nose there.
Yeah. Then they had these other ones. Another one wants Skywalker and Kylo Ren. Another one wants Kestis and Thrawn. Windu, Maul, Yoda, Snoke, Leia, Bastilla, Dooku. I want Dooku and Tyrannus. I'm like, what the fuck? You guys haven't. I want Kit Fisto and Grievous. Like, these guys are all prequel fucks. Like, what the hell is going on here?
Jeff never felt duty in his entire life.
And then, like, I got Binks. And that one has to be a joke, but I don't know. I want Plagueis and blah, blah, blah. So I looked at all that and I just, like, texted the guy. Like, oh, I want Bo-Katan and Phasma. So I just texted him, like, I'll take Solo and Fett. Like, I don't know. So I didn't have to get too creative. I was thinking I had to get too creative. And I was like, no, I'll just take that. And he's like, all right, you have them. They're yours.
You should have out-nerded
him. You could have done Babu Frickin' Hux.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have done a man. And evil Dr. Ibizans.
I know. I still may. It's not official yet. I told him, like, the wedding and honeymoon are happening. I'll get back to him. But he's like, oh, I don't want you to lose the names.
So, like, right, good. I'm good.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You guys haven't picked any of the real obscure ones.
You could be Dr. Ball.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
Prune Face.
Prune Face.
Dr. Ball in Elon Sleazebagino.
Yeah. It would be Prune Face and Whale Belly. Porkins.
Porkins. Yeah, I'm almost thinking I should just, like, drop Fett and Solo and just go to some, like, Wilro Hood and...
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes, Wilro Hood.
Hey, you've got to be Wilro Hood.
Oh, man, yeah.
But it's not the whole name, but just the last name. So I have to have a hood back there, which I don't know if it's as funny. But I don't know. Just crack me. It was more the generation gap.
They're all
They picked Vader and Skywalker, sure, but like no one picked any. Like there's no like I want to be. I don't know if they said anyone picked Obi-Wan or like Wedge or
Wedge.
I see. Okay, there's a Yoda here. But
Calrissian.
Here's the prequels.
That's, there you go.
Yeah.
Calrissian.
No Beru. No Owen.
What? Akbar.
Fuck, I don't even remember. What like, can you name an Ewok from the Ewok?
Yeah, Chirpa. Chirpa.
Chirpa the Chow.
He was still there.
Yeah, Wicket. Chirpa, Wicket. There was one other one.
Low Gray.
Yeah.
What's Chewbacca's son?
Oh, Lumpy.
Lumpy.
Yeah, look at Lumpy.
You'd be Lumpy and B. Arthur. I don't know.
I know B. Arthur's name too. It's,
God.
Fuck.
Lumpy. Jesus.
Anyway. Yeah, either B. Arthur or Art Carney's character.
Yeah, guy with the little volcano on top of his head.
Oh man!
Or the grandpa that's watching the porn on the Holovision. I'll keep you guys updated on whether or not I stick with the Han Solo Boba Fett, or if I switch it up and do something a little more. Yeah, like I said, Ponda Baba, or
a man,
just something really long. It's like all the letters on the back.
A man. Just be he hate me and somebody else. They'll buy it. He hate me. Who's that? Oh, a Star Wars character.
All right, then this other, quickly, this is just YouTube. I'm flipping around, and a couple of music documentaries that kind of popped up, which are pretty cool if you're interested. One, it was on the history of Tower Records, which is pretty interesting. I didn't know much about it. So if, and I think it was Colin Hanks that produced it or made it, which was interesting. But basically how it started up in Northern California, then came down here to LA, and then... But then it went from here to, I thought first it was New York or all the way to Japan, and it's still in Japan. Like, that was the one thing. Like, Dave Grohl said they went on tour. I mean, this is already like a 5-year-old video or whatever, but like, they went on tour there and they still had Tower Records, and it's still a thing over there.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I don't know, Scott, if you happen, you were just there. If you happen to notice Tower Records.
I was in Japan recently. I didn't see Tower Records, but I can believe that it's still open because I was in a few shops. That's some crazy old, like, electronic stuff. When I say old, I mean stuff from, like, the early 80s. Like,
wow.
Like, early 80s, early 90s, like, old, like, computer games and things like that. But, like, whole stores full of that stuff. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. Are you a neat now?
I am not a neat.
No.
In fact, I left my house to go into the office today. I am not a neat. I did get to... I got to go in some cool, like, really nerdy shops. So that was kind of fun. That's kind of a thing I wanted to do. It was in the Akihabara, the place that's kind of famous for that.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a good documentary, and it's stuff like I never knew. Like, yeah, they were like the first company, like, United States company, to go over there that wasn't like partnered with the Japanese partner over there. They just kind of went over there, did their own thing. And just at that time, they were eating up the Western culture and stuff. So it was huge. And then, I don't know. But then, you know, obviously everyone knows, okay, like, MP3s came out and that's what killed them. But it was like more mismanagement and them.
Well, then like all those kinds of stores like went under, like.
What were the other? But they talked about how Virgin. They were. Yeah. They were talking about how they stopped selling singles because they wanted everyone to buy the albums, which we all knew that, but like them admitting to it, like that was more, if they would have started selling singles, maybe they could have lasted longer and things like that, and mismet borrowing money and all this blah blah blah. It's a pretty good documentary.
Yeah.
And then I saw one on the Rainbow Room and the Whiskey A Go-Go down in LA, and that just all that stuff that happens over there and the history of that, which I didn't know much about. And
is that like
pretty cool,
like 60s, 70s, 80s?
Yeah, it basically, yeah, exactly. Okay. It's, you know, everything from the Beatles, you know, Elton John, not Elton John, or maybe Elton John, but John Lennon and Ringo going there, through the Stones, all the British guys went there. But then obviously it got really big with the 80s and the hair bands there with Guns N' Roses, and Slash has his own booth and all that stuff. And then how it died with kind of with grunge and everything. And that stopped becoming quite the place to be. And but now it's kind of coming. But once again, these are old documentaries, but now it's kind of picking up again because people, you know, this generation now has old, you know, money, are going to see concerts, and they'll throw those kind of shows or playing there again.
Was so without like digging too much into it, was it just like that's just how things went at the time, or was it just that all that grunge stuff was like we were getting into like music videos and it was easier to buy the music? Also, a lot of stuff was coming from, like, Seattle, not Los Angeles, right? So that might have affected some things. Yeah, I don't know.
I forgot what the main reason was. It was just that the culture just kind of changed of going out to show. I mean, because you go to the room because you were going to the whiskey and the Roxy and all those things on there. And that just kind of stopped because the music... People stayed more indoors in the 90s. They said because of the Seattle stuff. It was a weird. I forgot exactly what they were saying. And then also kind of rock kind of dies at that point, right?
Interesting.
Then,
yeah. Well, you could make an argument that hair metal is what killed it. But.
But that was what was thriving the most, actually. That's the biggest. They said when you go to those corners back then, when it was Guns N' Roses, and then, well, that was the second phase. But with Rat and Motley Crue and all that stuff. I don't know, but then they say that was one of the, I think that's the first place that Eminem ever played in LA, and that's where Dre saw him for the first time and when they made their connection. So they were throwing, people were still doing underground stuff, still doing stuff there, but it was just never the same. But I don't know. It's just very interesting. It was more about the Rainbow restaurant / room more than it was the Whiskey Go-Go, but they talk about how they had to put this restaurant because now they needed, it was kind of goes together. And just, you know, the infamous, that's the spot where Lemmy always stayed, you know, sat and drank his Jack and you're Coke probably, and probably, played the little game.
Legend has it, you can still smell Lemmy there.
Yeah. Anyway, it was pretty cool. If you're interested in rock and roll and all that stuff, check it out. I couldn't tell you the name, but just search those keywords and you'll find it on YouTube.
Yep, cool. Ooh.
All right, that's all I got.
All right. Good luck this week, Jeff. Not that you'll need it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We at Hans Shot First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shot First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.